I totally understand that at the point of asking a question, maybe you get a little bit nervous. Questions are difficult. We're worried what people are going to think when we ask the question. Does it sound like a stupid question? Or maybe there's something that you really want to ask, but you can't find quite the right moment to ask it. So again, you just think, well, I'll just do it later. But questions are an essential part of work. And as the famous Gandhi quote goes, if you don't ask, you don't get. And if you don't ask the question, what's the consequence of that? It's going to mean a little bit more time. Maybe you have to follow up later. Maybe you leave the meeting confused because you haven't clarified anything. So asking questions is really paramount, and it's really important that you feel confident asking questions. And therefore, that is what is on the agenda today. And don't forget to stay until the end, where I give you a word structure or a phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. Welcome to Anna with Two N's Business English Podcast. My name is Anna, and this podcast is designed especially for Spanish-speaking professionals who want to speak more and speak better. Every week for 20 minutes, I give you my best tips, advice, and guidance as an expert business English coach to help you improve your confidence, boost your skills, and so you can have a career that's not limited by English. If you love the podcast, I highly recommend that you sign up to the Anna with Two N's newsletter, which I send every Friday. This is a lovely, nice, short and sweet summary of all the things I've talked about in the podcast, with some translations and examples. So it's a perfect way to consolidate your learning from what you hear in each of the episodes. And the link to sign up is in the description box. Other ways that you can help the podcast include simply telling a friend or a colleague about the podcast, somebody else who you think could benefit from this type of content. You can leave a positive review or a rating or a like on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can also donate to the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. This basically helps support me as a creator. This is a free podcast and I do all of this in my own time. And this helps support some of the running costs that I have for keeping the podcast going. Also, just before I move on, I want to let you know that I'm launching a new online course in spring 2023. In this course, it's going to be all about helping you to speak and feel more confident. And I'm basically putting together lots of amazing resources that I've built up working with all my different clients, and I'm putting it in one place. If you want to join the course, the first thing that you need to do is sign up to the newsletter. The first round of the course is only going to be available to people who are signed up to the newsletter. Also, if you want to get a special offer and get early access, you can also join the waitlist, and I'll send the details for that in the newsletter this week. All the links are below in the description box. Very quickly before we move on, I want to give a shout out to Tone T. Zeng. You left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and you said, "Information is very practical. Need to listen every day." Goodness me. Thank you so much for your review. I'm really glad that you find the podcast useful and practical. That's really what I was always intending with this podcast, is that you get something practical that you can actually apply. Not just theory or whatever. You can get that in many different places. But what are some practical things that you can go away after the episode and actually use? Thank you so much again. I really appreciate it, Tone Zeng. And don't forget to get in touch. Send me a DM or an email and I will send across the free business training for listening. Let's get back to the topic of today. And the thing is, you may feel nervous when you ask a question, but we have a really nice saying in English, which is, there's no harm in asking. You might think it's a stupid question. You might think, am I asking them about something they've already explained and now it looks like I haven't understood what they were talking about, and so now I just look like I look stupid? As I mentioned in the introduction, there's also that phrase, no question is a stupid question. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. However, I have to say, I'm sure that I've asked a load of stupid questions in my lifetime. So we're gonna say yes, no question is a stupid question. And absolutely, if you don't feel clear about something, then you should feel that you are able to ask that question. It's not on you if you haven't necessarily understood. It's a two-way thing. It's 50-50. If you need them to clarify something, you should go ahead and do it. Obviously, today I have 20 minutes with you to talk about this topic. And there's lots of different questions that come up on a day-to-day basis of work. Maybe you need information, you're asking somebody to do something, it's a request, you're objecting to something, you're inquiring, you're getting to the bottom of what is going on. There's a lot of different questions. Of course, today I'm going to focus on a few specific categories that I've seen come up that people are not as comfortable with. I think there are also some really good ground rules to have in place, which I mention to my clients when we're practicing questions. The most important thing I think that you can do is always prep your questions in advance. If you have time, of course, sometimes you're thinking on the spot and sometimes it's a little bit of improvisation. But if you have time, always think about the questions you want to ask in advance. That's always going to help you. You can also, if you feel a little bit anxious or a little bit nervous about asking a question, you can give yourself a bit of a safety net by adding a phrase at the beginning of what you want to say. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Third thing is, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? To mention that Gandhi quote before, I mean, okay, not every work situation is life or death, but it could definitely mean that you have to then spend more time out of your day getting the information that you need when you could just simply spend 10 seconds or 15 seconds asking the question and then it's done. As I've mentioned before, it's really best to think about this as, I've got to get the information I need, or I need to ask about something. And that's important for me to get my job done. You're not offending anybody. You're not embarrassing anybody by asking your question. You're just being efficient at your job and you're getting things done. And people will appreciate that. I would say, however, one piece of advice and one recommendation, I sometimes have to take this advice as well. Keep your questions short and to the point. Now, there's a reason for this, not only just in terms of being clear, but especially when you're working in another language as well, things tend to get a little bit messy. Have you ever heard somebody that's like asking a question and then it kind of becomes a statement and then they're sort of giving their opinion and then at the very end there's like a question? I mean, that's an issue in itself. But from a language perspective, we want to try and keep it as simple as possible so people understand what we're saying. And look, if they don't understand your question, the worst case scenario that's going to happen is they're going to say, Anna, I'm really sorry, but I don't understand what you're saying. Could you rephrase it? I mean, that's the worst case scenario, is they're just going to ask you to ask the question in a different way. And maybe you're thinking, oh, but I don't even know how I would do that. You'll find a way. You'll figure it out. Always when I ask people, I say, I'm really sorry, I didn't understand that question. Could you rephrase it? They come back and give it to me normally in a simpler way or a clearer way or whatever. We get there eventually, but that's the worst case scenario. All they're going to do is ask you to repeat the question. And of course, you might feel a little bit embarrassed. Yes, yes, I would feel a bit embarrassed as well. And I've had many occasions when I've asked a question in Spanish and people haven't had any idea what I'm talking about. And I've had to repeat it like four or five times. But well, you know, that's just how it goes. There's a really nice quote here that I'm going to bring up as well. The person who asks a question remains a fool for 5 minutes, but the person that does not ask a question remains a fool forever. So again, that just backs up the point of, yes, okay, maybe you're going to look a little bit silly in the moment. Maybe it's not the perfect question. Maybe it sounds a little bit funny, but oh well, everybody will survive. Now I'd like to have a look at the specific categories. And of course, I've got a limited amount of time with you today, so I'm going to pick some categories that often come up that, as I said before, people are less familiar with or they make some mistakes with. I'm not going to be able to go through all the questions that you could possibly ask in a business scenario. I would love to, but I'm not sure we could squeeze that into 20 minutes. The very first thing that popped into my head when I was prepping for this episode was, I was like, I really want to touch on this question that a lot of people ask after they've given their opinion or they've talked about something. They ask for people's feedback or people's opinions. And a lot of people say, what do you think about that? And it's hard to put my finger on it, but it just sounds really, really direct in English. So simply we could change, what do you think about that, to what do you think? And I know you're probably thinking, but that's pathetic. It's like a tiny change. It doesn't make any difference at all. Well, it does though. It just sounds more natural. And it's just something that probably I would say. I'm never going to say after the end of when I've been speaking, what do you think about that? It's just not natural. It's just not a way that I would say it. You could also say, what are your thoughts? And another one that people don't use, which I really highly encourage you to do, actually, maybe that could have been my word structure or phrase this week. How does that sound? Notice here how I'm using a lot of what and how questions. What do you think? What are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts? How does that sound? Those are the types of questions that I would ask rather than, what do you think about that? It's really hard for me to explain, but it just sounds really direct when people say that question, and it just doesn't sound natural. The next area I want to touch on is negative questions when you disagree with somebody. Often if somebody gives an idea about something they want to do, you don't particularly agree with them, you don't think it's the best idea, you may not want to publicly disagree with them. So how can you do that being a little bit more diplomatic? And you have to remember that because I'm British, I'm always going to see this through a British lens. And for me, I'd much rather use a negative question to come back to something I haven't agreed with rather than necessarily disagreeing with somebody outright. That's not always going to be the case. That's why I'm bringing it up. You have to remember that I'm British and that obviously shapes the way that I communicate. There are other cultures that will outrightly disagree with you and they say, no, I don't agree. I don't think that's the right way forward. So it totally depends. But for me, this is a really nice way to do it. Imagine that you think something's not a good idea. You could maybe say, don't you think we should consider something else? Wouldn't it be better if perhaps we waited before we made a decision? Haven't we considered option B? Isn't it better to get everybody involved rather than just focus on one group? Wouldn't it be worth consulting with people before we decide what action we're going to take? And of course, I'm giving you some examples without any context whatsoever, but what I'm trying to show you is you can use a negative question in order to disagree with somebody essentially, but offer it up as if it's like a suggestion. Because often the difficult things, it's not like the easier things to say are the good things, you know, when we're happy or when things are going well. The difficult part is when you've got to raise an issue or perhaps you've got to disagree with somebody. And then it's the question of how do I do it in correctly, but also how do I do it in a way that's diplomatic, right? And that can be a little bit more difficult. I'm going to run over the next one really, really quickly because I think a lot of people, and maybe you do this, but a lot of people overcomplicate the next part, which is requests. So this is basically where you're just asking somebody to do something. And really what I would encourage you to do here is keep it simple. Can, could, and would you mind questions? Can you send me the agenda? Could you send me over the document? Would you mind sharing your screen? Imagine you're at the office and you're having a private confidential meeting with somebody from HR, for example, and you say, would you mind closing the door? Because I don't really want anybody else in the office to hear this. So keep it simple. Can, could, would you mind questions? Could is a little bit more polite than can, so there's that to take into account. And would you mind is normally followed by the gerund. Well, it is followed by the gerund. What am I saying? Normally, it is followed by the gerund. Would you mind sending me the agenda? Would you mind closing the door, etc., etc.? I have heard on occasion people say things like, would you be so kind as to, or would you be kind enough to? Yeah, you're not going to find people using that really on a day-to-day basis. They sound uber polite, uber formal, and uber elegant. If that's what you're going for, it's fine. But in most cases, it's going to sound a little bit over the top, to be honest. So I would just stick with your can, coulds, and would you mind. In the introduction, I also mentioned that if you're a little bit unsure about your question, you could front load it with a phrase that recognizes that. So the classic thing that you could say is, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you think it would be better to go with option two? Or correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a mistake here on the report? You'll notice here how it's a very natural pairing with a negative question. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there supposed to be an agenda for the meeting? So it's a very natural pairing with a negative question. So that could work. So you could always use a phrase in front of your question if you feel a little bit unsure about whether that's a good question or not. But ultimately, as I said at the beginning, if you don't ask, you don't get. Just ask your question. The worst that could happen is that they ask you to repeat and rephrase your question. Oh, well, you'll get it done. The last category of questions that I wanted to have a look at, and actually unintentionally, all of these seem to be along the same theme of bringing up issues or raising issues. But as I said, these tend to be the most difficult parts because you want to make sure you're being diplomatic at the same time. If something is wrong or if something hasn't been done, it's really common to ask a why question, first of all, a negative question, but also a question in the passive voice. That's a lot of different factors to consider when you're forming that question. And these ones are quite difficult. I'm going to include them in the newsletter. So if you find these ones difficult, check the newsletter for these sentences. I've talked about this before, but when you're bringing up issues or situations, it's much better to focus on the thing rather than the person. For example, imagine that there's a report that hasn't been sent or a deadline's been missed, for example. Let's do that one. That's a pretty common one. Rather than saying, Anna, why didn't you meet the deadline? Or why haven't you, meaning you plural, you all met the deadline? It could be, why hasn't the deadline been met? Or why wasn't the work done in time? You're focusing on the thing that hasn't been done rather than the people that haven't done it. And that tends to come across as being more diplomatic. Again, it depends on what type of approach you want to make. Maybe you want to put people on the spot and you want to call them out for something that they haven't done. But equally, being diplomatic is a consideration in most professional communications. But it depends. Different cultures, different working cultures are very different. And I'm sure if you've had experience working with different people from around the world, you'll have been able to pick that up, that people deal with positive, negative feedback quite differently, depending on where they're from. So why hasn't the report been done yet? Why hasn't the information been uploaded? Why hasn't the email been sent yet? Those are all examples of passive voice questions, negative questions with why. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that question, but really, really useful, especially for meetings where you're kind of reviewing what's been done, what hasn't been done, bringing up any issues, etc. To summarize that part then, I've gone over a couple of different areas about asking questions, especially when it's a bit more contentious and the situations are a little bit more tense. But as I would stress, as I've said before, the worst thing that could happen is if you ask a question, maybe they ask you to repeat that question or rephrase that question because they haven't understood it or it's not clear. I would highly recommend that you try and keep your questions short, concise and brief. And if at the moment, maybe you feel like you're not asking enough questions as you should, try to give yourself a challenge every week or some kind of test every week to ask a question in a meeting or in a work situation. Just start with one, if that's what it is. It doesn't need to be 10, it doesn't need to be 50, it doesn't mean to mean you're asking a question at every single meeting, but you've got to start somewhere, making a bit of progress and feeling more comfortable, putting your hand up essentially and saying that you want to ask something. Finally, let's have a look at our word structure or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. And this really was inspired by a couple of sessions that I've had recently. And this adjective, it's actually an adjective this week, came up and I was like, oh, definitely want to talk about this one. The adjective I want to talk about is to be keen to do something or to be keen on doing something. So this is wanting to do something or wanting something to happen very much. It's very similar to the verb want. However, what I would say is that want is a beautiful verb. It's much, much more widely used and much more common than keen. But this is another one that you can add to your toolbox. You don't need to replace want with keen, but it's just another one that you can throw in there and just mix it up a little bit. a lot of the time people, when I'm working with people, it's not necessarily a case of the words they use aren't good. It's just, you know, you get a bit bored of using the same verbs all the time and you just want to kind of mix it up, right? Well, this is a way that you could do that. As I said before, it's about wanting to do something or wanting something to happen a lot. Let me give you some examples and put it in context. The CEO is really, really keen to promote people from within the organization rather than externally. So the CEO really wants to promote or recruit people from inside the organization rather than outside. The company is really keen to look at options to expand the business overseas. Essentially, the business wants to expand overseas or wants at least to look at some different options. Imagine that you're working on a project and you might say, we're really, really keen to get started as soon as possible. Basically, we really want to start as soon as possible. Thank you so much for listening. As per usual, I hope you were able to take something away from today's episode. The thing I really want you to take away is to go and ask some questions. Get going. Get in there. Get your hand up. Click the hand emoji. Say something. Interrupt somebody and ask a question this week and let me know how you get on. You can always send me an email or a DM. I really like to hear from all of you about how you get on implementing some of these things that come up in the podcast. And don't forget that you can sign up to the Anna With Two Ends newsletter. I'm going to be sending around a summary of the things I've talked about today this Friday. So if you want to get the newsletter, make sure you sign up before 10 a.m. this Friday, the 3rd of March. Thank you so much, and I'll see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.